Sometimes in sales, we could be more than a tad guilty of overcomplicating things. So today, I have three simple questions that every sales rep needs to answer in order to have a stronger second half with their sales results.
My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session.
So here we are. It is now just a little bit past the halfway point of 2017. If you're like me, you're sitting here shaking your head saying, like, where the hell did the year go? You guys know this doesn't make me some kind of like a freaking sorcerer when I say this, but like, we're going to blink again and it's going to be the holidays. And if you're a parent like me, you've never gotten out of the habit of counting how many paychecks until Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So what I decided to do is just in its simplest form, present you with three questions that if you answer them truthfully and you take a lot of the little suggestions I'm going to offer today, I really believe it's going to help you have a better second half of 2017. So you know how I like to roll. We're only 50 seconds in, and I think we need to get down to business. I don't like a lot of cute banter and a lot of what experts refer to as dicking around on a podcast. Let's just roll up our sleeves and do this shit already. So the very first question that I am going to throw out there, I am going to warn you. This one comes with a warning. And I am directing it. I mean, it is right at you. If I was right there, I'd get in your face and say, don't judge the freaking question that I'm about to give you. Don't you dare. You're going to think that you know where I'm going with this question. You're going to think it's a basic question and it's sales 101. I am willing to bet right here and now that I am not going to go in the direction that you think that I'm about to go in with this question. So you ready? The very first question that you need to ask yourself to have a better second half of 2017 is, how is my mindset, specifically my attitude? So right about now, I might be getting an eye roll from you guys. Like, oh my God, is he going to get into this positive mental attitude crap or anything like that? Hell no. Hell no. I mean, many of you know that like every year in January, I'm probably the equivalent of like the New Year's Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Like the Bah Humbug guy. Because I hate all this, we're going to get them and we're going to kick ass stuff, because it fizzles out. It's rah-rah. It is a Red Bull adrenaline rush. I do want to say, and I think we all have to have a group amen, of course, a positive mental attitude is important. But before I put that to rest and go in the direction with this that might, you know, have you like perk up and say, okay, now I'm with you, Castain, I do want to say something about positive mental attitude. Obviously, it is very, very important. Many of us believe that it's the core of everything else that we're going to do. If the attitude is off, then, well, how the hell can we get better and make more money and kick ass and all that kind of stuff? But I'm here to tell you that I don't really believe that we always have to have a positive mental attitude. I think it's dangerous, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that, like, these people telling you, you have to be positive and positivity and all this other rah-rah type of stuff. Yes, you're right. But you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with getting shit out of your system. I'm not one to bottle things up, I think, you know, and sweeping it under the carpet. I think they come back tenfold when you do that. I think if you're pissed off, you need to acknowledge, I am pissed off. If someone has pissed you off, I think, you know, you find your way to do it. I don't think you need to get in a fist fight over it, but if you need to confront them with it or whatever, you do what you need to do. If you're a person that needs, I don't really recommend this, but if your person needs to go punch the damn wall at home or whatever it is, punch the damn wall at home. Just make sure you have some mad carpentry skills and spackling skills or whatever the hell it is. And, do what you need to do. Get out of your system. But then get back to reality and don't dwell on it. But here's the direction that I really wanted to go in with this whole thing as far as your mindset, specifically your attitude. What has been your attitude toward learning? There are many people in sales. I have been one of them throughout my career. I try to catch myself, and I'm going to tell you how you can catch yourself as well, because it's a really cool way of interrupting that pattern. And what happens is every once in a while, I'll catch myself doing an eye roll of saying, I know that, or that sales 101. And our profession is really, really guilty of that. And I can't tell you how many times in my career I've had people say to me offline, ranging from respectfully to being, you know, like a flat out dick about it. You know, oh, everybody knows that and everything else. Of course everybody knows it. I mean, shit. I mean, am I like arriving here saying, everybody, hail Uncle Paul, the all-knowing, you know, Uncle Paul who's coming for, you know, putting forth this knowledge that nobody since the beginning of mankind and womankind has ever freaking heard of. Of course you've heard of it. But here's the deal. Because you've heard of it, because it is sales 101, because you know that, it doesn't mean you're doing it. And there's a big difference in sales. So stop going around telling people, maybe your boss, maybe under your breath, maybe when you hear a guy like me or some of the other thought leaders out there, cut the shit with this I know it stuff. You are taking the wuss way out. It takes no effort to say you know something. And I will tell you, I am sure you do know it. Okay, see? I'm acknowledging you. And I'm going to put you up on a pedestal right there. But right now, I'm going to knock that damn pedestal out from under you when I ask you, but are you doing it? So what you need to do now is recognize that this is a bad pattern. This is a limiting pattern, because it's going to keep you from getting lessons in sales, and it's going to keep you from being the quote-unquote humble student that all of us need to be. So it's a pattern. When you find yourself saying, yeah, I know that, or at sales 101, or geez, like, come on, tell me something new. You need to interrupt that pattern. Ask yourself a simple question. I call it the sales 101 reality check. You ready? Ask yourself the following question. Do I know it and I'm doing it, or do I need to shut my mouth and actually get to work on it? Ready? Let me say it again. Do I know this and I'm actually doing this, or do I need to shut my mouth and actually do this? One of the things that you can do, and I know that a lot of people tell me they listen to these podcasts with their sales team. So first of all, I'm not going to apologize for my language if that's what you're doing. This is how I choose to speak. So sorry, you know, probably plenty of other G-rated podcasts you could be listening to. But for the rest of you that want to have a real conversation today, let me say that if you're meeting with your sales team over this, one of the things that you really need to do is ponder all the things that you tend to kind of dismiss, but really you're not doing. You're writing it off as sales 101, but you haven't done it since you first started in sales. Like things like writing a thank you note. Everybody knows they're supposed to be writing thank you notes, including the sales trainers who say you should be writing sales notes, but not everybody's doing them. And everybody tends to go, oh man, here goes another person. You know, like, of course you're supposed to write thank you notes. Yeah, that means you're doing it right now. All right, well, shut your mouth, do it. Right? So that's what you need to do right there. But you also need, there's some other things with your attitude that you need to be looking at. Things like asking for help from people. And that is a tough thing for people in sales to do because of our egos. Or maybe we're neck and neck and we're competing against that other person in the office. And there was something I came across the other day, and am I really going to butcher this quote, but it was something along the lines of, assume that everyone you come in contact with in life can teach you something. And I think that's such a great, almost like a mantra for us humble students of sales. Assume that everyone you come in contact with has something that they can teach you. But, you know, when was the last time when you were struggling with something, you asked someone for help? And I know it can be rather difficult to do. But even when you weren't struggling with something, and I'll give you an example. When I first started blogging in 2008, right, very soon, will be coming up on like the 9th anniversary, right, this November. I started over Thanksgiving Day weekend, 2008. I remember a few weeks in, I came across another blogger. And this, I'm so sorry to like admit this publicly, but I feel like I have to, so don't write me off as like an idiot if you haven't done so already. But I remember coming across this blogger, and I'm like, oh my God, they have a thing you could sign up for their, you know, like sign up with your email address. I didn't know how the hell to do that. So I'm trying to figure it out and everything else. So what I did was the person where I discovered it, they didn't know me. I saw this little thing, contact me or whatever it was. I click, and that's another thing I didn't know how to do. Back then I was on, by the way, back then I was on a different platform. I didn't have a webmaster or anything else. I was on the Blogger platform, Blogspot. Google puts it out. That's what I did back in the day. Now I'm on WordPress. I have webmaster and stuff that helps me. And I'm sorry to go off on a tangent. We're actually redoing the website. And it's going to launch hopefully shortly after, or maybe like immediately after Labor Day. So stay tuned for that. I'll give you guys updates. But anyway, so I just reached out and said, hey, you don't know me. Big fan of your blog. I'm so sorry. Feel free to say no. But like, how do you do this? And also, while we're at it, how do you do it so that people can contact you? It'd be so cool if I can interact with my audience. People who don't want to leave a public comment or question, they can like reach out to me privately. And this person was so gracious. And they answered my question. And I've done that throughout, like ever since. And, you know, I admit it's not the easiest thing to do sometimes, but sometimes we just got to tell the ego to get the hell out and do what we got to do. The other thing in terms of your attitude, how about your attitude toward, and I'm sorry if I'm bouncing around, and I meant to say this before, but your attitude towards taking the time to learn things. So I don't mean just like asking, hey, how did you do that? Or that sales 101 trap where you catch yourself and you kind of say, well, does it mean that I'm actually doing this? I mean, taking the time to learn. So many times, those of you who are on my email list, you know that I send out quite a few helpful hints, but also we do webinars every 2 weeks. So that, by the way, is like the quickest way for you to be in the loop with all the different webinars that we do, what the topics are going to be. And then what I always try to do when we're promoting a webinar is not just come out and say, hey, buy it. But in every email that we send out that, yeah, we're going to be saying, hey, buy it, we're giving you helpful hints too. So it's kind of like a little bit of a compromise that we do. But I get a lot of people who say, oh, man, I'd love to, but I just don't have the time. I have something going on. And meanwhile, all over that damn email, it said, hey, you know, we're recording this and we're going to send out the replay. And but there's a lot of people in general, in sales particularly, that love to wear their busyness, quote unquote busyness, on their sleeve. And what it's really become is a safe out, because either they're too scared to learn or they're too lazy to learn, or, you know, maybe, and forgive me, but again, I'm a straight shooter, or maybe they're too goddamn cheap to learn. I mean, you know, some people and I've had this, I had like more than a few people over the years that have told me that they won't buy a book for themselves on sale. A book. I mean, think about it. On Amazon, you can get a book. What? Like, I mean, $25 or less? I mean, heck, you can get them $15. On Kindle, there's certain books you can get for $9.99. They will not do it because their boss won't reimburse them. And meanwhile, same people are supporting their, what, $4.50 a day latte habit over at Starbucks. They are you know, pissing money on all kinds of things. I mean, admittedly, and I've gotten a lot better with this thing that I'm about to share with you. I mean, one of my many things that I've pissed money on is cigars, and I'm actually cutting way back on them. It's the weirdest thing. I lost a lot of my taste for them, and it's just, you know, I have enough other things, like with being overweight and stuff like that, and I'd really like to be around for a while. And it's like suddenly hitting me that this whole not take care of yourself thing is not cool. So last few weeks, been trying to eat a lot better. Hopefully I'm going to stay on that program. Very soon I'll be getting back into exercising and working out and all. But the cigars I'm saving more for, you know, special occasions and things like that. I certainly like to do it when I go camping and all that. But my point is that, you know, I piss away a lot of money on that. Like one time I was looking at my history of how much I spent just on a monthly basis on cigars. And I'm putting that out there to you guys to let you know that I'm not sitting here as some all-knowing, judgmental, like, ass. I'm telling you that I've done it also, but I'm sure that you have the things you piss money on. And we could argue, well, I enjoy it and everything else. Nobody's telling you to live in poverty in order to invest in yourself, but you need to be investing in yourself. I mean, that's really, really important. And here's how I look at it. And this is what I think might be wrong with a lot of us. And again, I say us not to be cute and to make it seem like he's trying to include us, but meanwhile, you know, he doesn't really mean it. I say us because, man, I really was a part of that. You know, I think the thing is with investing in ourselves is that sometimes we really look at it as an expense and you'd rather put your money somewhere else, and maybe it's an awareness thing or whatever. But meanwhile, think about it. I mean, you know, especially over here in the U.S., and again, I don't know how it is in other countries and everything, but many of us, I mean, we have 401ks, right? And with 401k, we're investing essentially in strange companies. We don't know them. It's not like it's our buddy's company or something like that. But what really is effed up about that is that it's perfectly okay to invest in a strange company, a strange fund or whatever it is. But don't you dare suggest that you invest in yourself. So that might be something that you should work on going forward. Now, that's like a lot longer. I really wanted to spend on the mindset thing. The next two things are really going to bring it together. But it really, I think we all have to have a group amen that it begins with the mindset and the attitude, you being vulnerable enough to ask for help, you being mature enough to realize that, hey, man, I have to invest in myself. And I think very quickly, before we officially move on to items two and three, one of the things that I've been doing now since, like, when I really didn't have a pot to piss in, when money was really tight, I had lost my business, I was in debt, working night jobs and stuff. And I'll never forget, I started doing this when my very first job after losing everything in 1996 was when I, like, my very first sales job, because I kind of thought, okay, man, I'm getting out of that. I got my ass kicked. And then when I kind of, you know, got done with my pity party and working nights, and when I literally, it was kind of like, I felt like Rocky, you know, that moment when he's like, all right, I'm not going down anymore. When I got to that moment, I made a promise to myself that I'd stop being an old dog. And I was an old dog at the ripe old age of 30. And that, I mean, seriously, I was like, you couldn't teach me a damn thing. I thought I knew it all, had a lot of success come to me at a young age and all this kind of stuff. And I swore to myself that I would never fall into that again, and that what I'd always do is take the portion of my commissions, right? Not like many of the jobs that I had back in those days, you know, you had two paychecks a month. One of them was either, you know, just all commission, or it was your, you know, your paycheck plus commission or whatever it was. But I swore that I always take a portion of it. I didn't set a percentage. I looked at things. I had a lot of bills to pay back then. I was paying off the 60 grand that I owed from a failed business and everything. I wanted to pay everybody. So I would look at things and I would make a decision. And I invested in myself in different ways. You know, sometimes it was building my wardrobe because, you know, you want to look the part. Other times it was, you know, back then it was, I remember getting a digital voice recorder so I could jot things down and all these other things. But every month since then, I've always reinvested something in me so that I can get smarter at what I do. And this is long before I was a sales trainer. This is me as a soldier. And sometimes all I could afford was a book. Or sometimes, you know, money was so tight that I had to put, you know, half the money aside for a book one month, and then the other month, it was really that tight, but I was always doing something. Other months, as I made more money, it was going to a seminar. It was buying a webinar. I've invested in several coaches many times throughout my career. I've had as many as two and three coaches simultaneously for different things, whether it was online things, public speaking coaches, small business coaches, etc. And it was the best investment I ever made. So having said that, item number two, or question number two that you need to be asking yourself, how are my skill levels? How are my, in fact, let's be more specific. How are my selling skill levels? How am I selling skill levels? So what you need to do for this one, and you'll see that all of these questions are really joined at the hip. So it kind of goes back to the attitude thing and the mindset thing we just beat to death. But you have to be able to look in the mirror. And again, that's an attitude thing, to be able to be the humble student, willing to look in the mirror, not the mirror that shaves 10 pounds off of you. I mean that shitty, like, hotel room mirror where you're looking at yourself and, like, you know, the first time, like, I looked at myself in that mirror years ago as I was just starting to gain a lot of weight. And, you know, I thought of that comedian who, like, looked in the mirror and he's like, and I said, Dad? You know, it's like, what the hell are you doing here, Dad? Right? So, I mean, it got worse, too, as I shaved my head because my dad was bald. And I'm like, whoa, the ghost of, you know, Des Castain here haunting me. But so you have to look in the mirror. And what you want to do is you want to look at where you're strong and not so strong. So I have something to make it real easy for you. And it's free, and I want you to download it so that you can do the next few things I'm about to tell you. So if I've put together this really cool checklist, and there's about 80 items on there, and don't be scared by the amount. You could seriously do this in less than 5 minutes. And again, that's an attitude thing. Be willing to invest the time to get smarter. 5 minutes out of your life. I mean, shit, some of you might be complaining about 5 minutes or complaining about taking the time to learn and get smarter at your craft. I don't have the time to do that, but, you know, house of cards, you make plenty of time. And you know what? This almost shouldn't be a point that I'm making because I think this has its own category. Game of Thrones fans, right? We're like a week away from that starting up again. You got plenty of time for that. But that almost should not be a point to be made because, hello, it's Game of Thrones. You make time for that shit. But same thing with Walking Dead, by the way. But we make time for these silly things, but we don't make time for something that, like, really, really matters, right? So what I want you to do is go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. You can click on the link. It's right there, a PDF waiting for you. And what I did over the years is I've been asking this question to group of salespeople, groups of sales peoples that like I've trained or in any of the communities, like the Sales Playbook group over on LinkedIn. I don't know if many of you know this or not, but we also have a group that's thriving over on Facebook. And I don't have the link up for that on the site yet because that's going to be part of the new site. But if you guys would like the link to that, if you send me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, I'll send you the link so you can come and hang out with us. But there's been a question that I've asked over the years. Very simple. What are the qualities of a sales rock star? We all want to be a sales rock star in our own right. And your definition of rock star and mine can and should be different, right? We all have our own definition of that. And when I asked people over the years, what are the qualities? I've always listened to it and what people had to say because they evolve over the years because, like, think about it. Like, when I first started, now I'm really sound like the old fart that you guys have suspected that your Uncle Paul is. When I first started in sales, I mean, this was like before internet and before email and stuff. So your skill set then was focused on some of many of the same things that we still have to focus on today. But you didn't have to be good at email because it wasn't invented yet. You didn't have to be good at LinkedIn because LinkedIn was still, you know, 20 years out or whatever the hell it was. So it's constantly evolving. People, I really also believe, buy differently now. I mean, you know, I think it's very common now for people to want to Google you and see what you're all about. If you don't have a trail, I'm not saying you have to be Paul Castain, a complete lunatic with, you know, throwing all kinds of content out there. But if you don't have something for them to see, I think it could be a problem. So what you need to do is kind of look in the mirror, ask your ego to leave the room, and use this checklist as a way for you to look at where you're strong and not so strong. It'll take you all of about 5 minutes. I've had it designed in a way that's fun with the rock star theme. You know, it wouldn't even seem like work. 5 minutes or less, you can be done. But then what I want you to do is after you do it, go back and look at the areas where you scored the lowest. I would even say take a look at the areas that you scored the highest. And maybe for starters, what you do is you take your top three areas where, like, you scored, like, really bad. Like, Houston, we have a problem. Take your top three areas where you just kick ass in those areas, where you feel like, you know, I'm just, like, nines and tens here. And then, you know, so the top three from each one of them. And then what you want, there's some things that I want you to do from there that we're going to talk about in the next question that I'm going to give you. But this would be a great start. I mean, they always say it begins with awareness, right? In fact, again, in true Uncle Paul fashion, I need to offer a very quick tangent, really, to make the point with you guys, or at least to beat up the point with you guys. I mentioned to you before that I'm really trying to now understand that I have to take better care of myself, right? I'm not 20 years old anymore, and I kind of wish I was 20 years old because I was pretty goddamn built at that point in my life. Like, so, but it's, you know, I want to take better care of myself. So I was at the doctor, and I was beginning, again, nothing for you guys to worry about, as if you would worry about me, come on. But I think part of it is, first of all, I want to make sure that before I start getting into exercise and hitting the weights and stuff, and I want to get back to martial arts and things like that, before I get into these things, I just want to make sure with the weight that I'm carrying that I'm not going to, like, fast forward a massive heart attack or something like that, and I want to do some things. So I was talking about weight loss with my doctor, brand new doctor that I have now, really just so impressed with this guy, asks all the right questions, really listens to you, and it's just like you're visiting with a friend but giving you really good advice. So one of the things he had said to me, and I kind of had to use my own advice about that sales 101 reality check thing, but here it was like kind of like a diet 101 reality check. He said to me, you know, the best advice that I could give you, it's going to be one that you're going to want to dismiss. You guys have heard me say that. One that you're going to want to dismiss. And sorry about that. My mic cut out. I thought maybe, like, you guys think, hey, he's getting emotional over the doctor's visit. But anyway, he had said, but before I tell you what it is, I want you to look at me and understand that, you know, I had to lose 65 pounds. And he was a short, still is. I don't think, like, you know, he grew since the last appointment, last exam I had 3 weeks ago. Man, I'd be pretty damn impressed. He's a short little dude, man. And, yeah, the guy dropped 65 pounds. So he said, what you really need to do is be aware of some of the things. He goes, you know, some of the things, like you were telling me, like you like your ice cream and stuff like that, and, you know, eating all kinds of shitty food. When he didn't say shitty, I'm saying shitty. He said something in doctor speak, a little more professional than me. And, you know, when you're watching TV doing all these things, and then there are things that you're not aware of, like, you know, you think you're doing okay and you're eating a salad, but you're putting on a salad dressing that's like, you know, a billion calories and stuff or whatever. So he said, keep a journal, just keep a food journal. And just so you can be aware of things that you can make adjustments, even in terms of when you're eating and things like that. And I will tell you, I've been doing this now for the last 2 weeks, and I knew that you were supposed to do this. I've heard it any amount of times, but again, I wanted to be the humble student here. I'm serious about losing the weight. So I was like, all right, you know, I really need to do this. I know it, but I don't do it. So it has been such an eye-opener for me. So anyway, it begins with awareness, and I want you to start there. But now that brings us to question number three, because there's something I want you to do with this. Now, the third question, as we look at things going forward so that we can have a stronger second half of 2017, simply put, how are my activities either helping or getting the way of my success? How are my activities either positively or negatively impacting my results? How's that? How are my activities either positively or negatively impacting my results? So what you can do here after you look in the mirror, and we said, okay, you know, the first step is just awareness. So after you take that look in the mirror, you flag your top three areas where you rock, the bottom three areas where you not too good, right? You really need to improve upon that. Now you need to start taking action. You see, the bulk of the population, I think we are in this, you know, consuming type of mode, most of us. We consume so much information. You're consuming information right now. But how many times, and again, I'm not asking you this so you feel bad and hang your head. I want to maybe give you a little bit of a tap on the shoulder and a reality check. How many times do you listen to my podcast or read a blog post of mine or someone else's or even someone else's podcast or whatever, and you say, you find yourself nodding your head saying, that makes sense. I like that. Wow, what a great idea. And then you proceed to do nothing with it. Now, you didn't set out to blow off the idea. You just got caught up in life. And I think if you could change that going forward and start to now, when you come across good things, you're going to say, all right, I'm trying that within 24 hours, because if I don't, it's going to stay in a notebook somewhere, or it's going to, like, I'd say that it stays like kind of upstairs in your brain, but I don't know about you guys, but it's like, you know, I have so many things going on that I'd like to think I'm going to remember an idea, but I have to write it down. I've even had cases where, like, I had an idea, I didn't get a chance to write it down, then a phone call comes in, then, you know, seven emails come in or whatever it is, and I'm like, I have forgotten that idea. Who knows? That might have been the next idea to make my family, you know, $250,000, whatever. Keep Mrs. Uncle Paul, like, happy with me for a change, right? Like give her the money, damn it. But so what? That's the first thing that I want you to do. So start to get to work on that. But there's, like, a really cool thing that you can do. And it's a variation of something that I heard, I think it was Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup from the Soul talking about. They had this thing, and I'm not going to have you do what he did, because it's a little bit, it's more than a bit much, because I tried it this way and a lot of people would quit because it was just too much work. What he did once they wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, him and, was it Mark Victor Hansen perhaps, the co-author of that? I could be wrong. But what they did was they were like, we want a best-selling book. And they had just been rejected by something like 148 publishers. So they did something really ballsy after getting rejected. Most people would be like, thank God we got a book deal. Let's leave well enough alone. Let's just be grateful that, you know, that we actually have a book deal. They went on and said, all right, next step, we need a bestseller, which, again, pretty ballsy. So they didn't just make the goal. They made a promise that each and every day they would do at least five things to move closer toward the attainment of that goal. So my suggestion to you is, five might be a bit much when you look at all the other things on your plate. And I'm not a big believer in, well, again, you got to think positively. Well, Castain, of course you're not going to do it because you're saying you're not going to know. I'm not going to do it because I taught it several years ago. And not only were people coming back to me saying they weren't doing it and they were quitting, and then they felt shittier than before I even gave them the dip, but I even, like, wasn't keeping up on it. It's aggressive. So my suggestion is to you, look at those qualities that you've flagged and take it one at a time and allocate a certain amount of time before you go to the next quality. Maybe it's 2 weeks, maybe it's a month, whatever it is. And what I want you to do is each and every day do one thing, one simple thing. I don't want it complicated because you'll blow off complicated. Remember, simple. One simple thing that you'd almost have to say to yourself, really, you're going to blow that off. It was the equivalent of Paul saying, I want you to spell your name today, and I'm going to give you credit for that, right? Or spell your best friend's name, right? Spell your mom's name or your dad's name. I mean, seriously, it's got to be that simple. So, like, let me give you a few examples of what I mean by simple. Let's just say one of the things that you flag on that list is your questioning skills. So let's just say tomorrow you could have an action item that, okay, tomorrow morning before work and I get busy and it's easy for me to blow this off, I am going to take a whole, like, 5 minutes or less. I'm going to do a search on Google for questioning skills tips. I'm going to, like, read through some things. And if I find something that really resonates with me, I'm actually, in the next 24 hours, going to try it. And that could be your action for the next day. So the first day is I'm going to try to find some ideas. Okay, then now I flagged one idea, maybe two or three or whatever it is, if it's a good, like, blog post. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do one of those things. So I like this idea about doing so-and-so. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. Maybe on day three, you say, I'm going to go on Amazon and I'm going to look up and see if there's a good sales selling skills, like good sales questioning skills book. Look it up. You know what? I'm going to buy it. And, you know, you could do the same thing. I'm going to read one chapter of that book. Next day, I'm going to implement one thing from that chapter. I'm going to try or whatever. So you guys get where I'm going with this. Imagine that. If you could do that every single day, not only are you going to be a humble student, not only are you going to be consuming information, but you're going to be kicking all of your peers' asses, because people consume and they very rarely execute. So that's going to set you apart. The other thing that I want you to do in terms of your activities now, this is super duper important, and I never say super duper important. Seriously, you have to understand what drives success in sales. What drives success in sales? And I will tell you, it generally comes down to three things. Now, it may vary depending on your sales role, but generally it comes down to three things, and I want you to jot them down. I refer to these as the three drivers of sales success. Driver number one, getting new business. So again, if you're responsible, if you're graded on that, getting out there and getting new accounts, okay, that is driver number one, getting new business. Now, once you get that business, drivers number two and three come in handy. Okay, so driver number two is that at a minimum, you need to retain that business. You can't have the business going out the back door. It comes in the front door, but we're so busy going after new business, we don't work on those accounts and service those accounts and respond and all that stuff, and we lose them out the back door. So driver number two really has two components to it, actually, and I've given you one so far. It's retaining. That's your minimum, but ideally, you're going to wow them. So retaining and wowing. And driver number three is account development, growing that business. If they have a location out here in New York that you're servicing, but they have 12 other locations, well, we want to get into those 12 other locations. If they're in one product line, but you know that they buy three other ones from your competitors, well, there's that, right? There's increasing volume and revenue and all that kind of stuff. So the three drivers of sales success are getting new business, retaining and wowing that business, and number three is developing and growing that business. So here's my tip. Spend the most time possible on those three drivers, because that is what's going to make or break the second half of your year, if you think about it, right? We're graded on the numbers. I'm not saying everything else is irrelevant. I'm just saying that look at your day and how you're spending it. Now, it's Sunday right now when I'm recording this, and many of you will listen on Sunday. Well, what I want you to look at is, okay, as I look at my day, am I spending like the majority of my day either getting new business, retaining and wowing business, growing business, or are you getting caught up in an incredible amount of interruptions and time wasters and things like that, and administrative types of things? And the administrative things, it's very interesting because it has to coexist with the drivers. But the thing of it is that most people will do the administrative things, and if there's time, then they'll do the things that matter. And I want you to think about, before we criticize it, think about how, you know, you might be guilty of it, right? Again, my point is not to make you feel bad. It's just, again, I want to give you the tap on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, maybe this is why the first half of the year wasn't as good. And maybe the last few years haven't been as good, or you're not making as much money to live your dreams. It's because we get so caught up in the other things that have their place. They're important. But what if we were to invert that and we were to get on the calendar the prospecting time and, you know, obviously the account development time and you know, maybe just have like a little note, Friday, 9:15 a.m., surprise ABC account. I mean, who the hell doesn't like a good surprise? I don't mean like a shitty surprise, like surprise, your order is going to be short and 10 days late with a price increase. And, you know, like there's going to be surprise costs on the bill, but not going to be surprised to indulge you. I don't mean that. I mean like a really cool surprise. Like, hey, I was thinking of you. Or, you know, hey, you know, I was thinking about our conversation that we had and how you want to do this. Here's an idea. No strings attached. I mean, it's not attached to like getting another order from your, it's just an idea. I mean, here you go. It's for you. So I really want you to think about that. If we can spend in the second half of the year more time on the things that jolt our revenue, that drive our sales success, well, that can radically impact things. So let me just throw this at you again. Here's what the three questions are. Question number one is, how is my mindset, specifically my attitude? And we went over like all the little things about that, right? The other thing, how are my skill levels with regard to sales, right? We're going to look at that. And then, you know, how am I spending my time? And like, you know, again, I'm just kind of changing around the question a little bit to come at you from a different angle. But how are my activities? And specifically, how much of my time, I'm kind of adding another question in there, how much of my time is being spent on the things that I'm really getting great in on, like new account acquisition, retaining and wowing, account development? So I want you to really think about that and have a real, like, carve aside some thinking time and make a note to work on these areas. And don't forget, we have the freebie for you that you can download, the free checklist, yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. And I want to leave you with something. If you found this valuable today, I have 25 ideas that I'm going to actually be sharing with everyone this Thursday, July 13th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be putting out a webinar, and it's called A Simple Plan to Grow Your Sales in the Second Half of 2017. I mean, how timely is that? I have so many ideas that I want to share with you. Ideas like from how you can generate 75 more phone appointments between now and the end of the year. How you can get at least another like 8 more selling days. I mean, I really want you to think about that. 8 more like full selling days, like in how you manage your time, because the average person, when I show you how and why, loses about 16 selling days a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I could always use another 16 days to impact my like my paycheck. But if for some reason that doesn't appeal to you, how about I come and see you 16 selling days before the judgment call on whether or not you're going to make President's Club or whether or not you're going to qualify for bonus. I guarantee you right about then, you're going to really wish you had those 16 days. But in this case, since the year is half over, approximately 8 more days. But I have lots of ideas I want to share with you. And I want you to come and join us. And I even have a really cool bonus that I'm going to be sending everybody. Everyone who attends the webinar, now whether you attend it live or if you can't make it this Thursday, I always say sign up anyway, because later that day I'm going to send you the webinar replay. Be kind of like, almost like, imagine like on demand and like a pay-per-view. And you can kind of sit back and watch it at your leisure anytime over the next 60 days. But there's a really cool bonus. And the bonus is this. What I'm going to do after the webinar, probably early next week I'll do it, maybe even this Friday, who knows, depends on my mood. I'll send everybody a secret link. And the secret link is going to be to a secret page with all kinds of PDFs and exercises and time trackers and all kinds of things to really help drive these points home. So if you want to come and join us, I'm going to invite you. Like right now, I want you to just kind of gauge how you reacted to that. I'm too busy, don't want to spend the money, my boss isn't going to reimburse me or whatever it is. And unless you're like, you know, truly on top, going through some hard times, and believe me, I went through it myself years ago. If this is something that appeals to you, I really want you to look at what was your excuse right then and there if you're not going to come join us. And I'd like you to challenge whatever excuse that you might be offering. Come join us and visit yoursalesplaybook.com/plan. yoursalesplaybook.com/plan, P-L-A-N, all lowercase. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get it. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.